Chapter 2. Strange things happen at Lexington International Bank. London's Square Mile was the home of Lexington International Bank. People in expensive suits walked through the atrium and passed a large glass sculpture with the words "Time is money" written at the bottom. In the basement, there was a noise. And a blue box with a light on top of it appeared. The doctor opened the TARDIS door and got out. "Come on," he called to Amy, who was wearing clothes for work in a bank. "We've got places to go to, people to meet, and the Earth to save." He put his head out of the door of the room, looked left and right, and walked out. Then he led Amy towards a door that opened onto the street outside.
"But," said Amy, "aren't we already inside the bank?"
"This is a bank," said the doctor. "The receptionist has to let us in." And they walked round to the front of the bank.
"Please," said a voice by their feet. "Please."
Sitting outside the front doors of the bank was an old woman. She was wearing a dirty coat, although her shoes looked expensive. She looked very tired, like she had not slept for days. Strangely, she was wearing a name badge that said Nadia Montgomery, Head of Communications. She pulled at the doctor's coat.
"Can you help me?"
Amy pulled some money out of the pocket of her suit and gave it to the woman.
"Here," she said. "Have this."
The woman looked at the money like she did not understand what it was.
"Time is money," she said. "Money is time. You can give me one, but you can't give the other."
Amy didn't understand what the woman was talking about.
"That was kind, Amy," said the doctor, "but we've got a bank to inspect."
"Don't go in there," the woman shouted. "They'll steal your time and you'll never get it back."
The doctor turned back round.
"What did you say about time?" he asked her.
The old woman stared at the doctor.
"I can't remember," she said. "I feel so old."
And then she stopped talking and stared at nothing instead. There was nothing more Amy and the doctor could do to help Nadia, if that really was her name, so they walked into the bank.
"I'm the doctor," said the doctor, smiling at the receptionist. "And this is Amy Pond."
He waved his psychic paper in front of the receptionist's face. The psychic paper made the receptionist see what the doctor wanted her to see.
"As you can see, we're here to inspect the bank. We want to know if your workers are happy."
The receptionist checked the paper and smiled at them.
"Good morning, Dr. Schmidt," she said. "I'll just let Ms. Lang Randall know that you are here."
"As you can see, Dr. Schmidt," said Vanessa Lang Randall as she finished showing them the offices of Lexington Bank and returned to the atrium, "we are a good bank and our workers are very happy. Do you know the Chancellor of the Exchequer will be giving a speech from our office tomorrow? Do you see that sculpture?"
The sculpture looked like several trees twisted around each other, with their branches twisting up to the top of the atrium. There was a strange light at the centre of the sculpture, making it look alive.
"That's not just a sculpture," said Vanessa. "It shows how we, here at Lexington, see the different parts of life at the bank. We believe that each part is equally important. People must plan their work and their life outside work.
While Vanessa continued talking about life at the bank, Amy looked through the atrium's glass walls. She could see busy people everywhere, except for one man opposite her, across the atrium. He was standing in front of his computer with his head in his hands. Then he turned and Amy saw that he looked angry and afraid. Then he looked down at his wrist and touched something on it. Suddenly, he fell to the floor. Amy and the doctor ran around to his office as quickly as they could. But by the time they got there, a secretary had already covered his face with a coat. She was standing shocked by the dead body.
"Doctor," whispered Amy, "I saw him do something just before he died. He touched something on his wrist. I think it was a watch."
"He worked too much," said Vanessa Lang Randall, who had followed them. She was looking down at the man. "We encourage people to take holidays, but sometimes they don't do it. A quarter of our staff didn't use all their holidays last year. Mr..." She looked at her phone. "Brian Edelman here hasn't taken a day's holiday in 18 months.
The doctor looked down at the body. Did you say he was looking at his watch?" He gently pulled away the coat to check the man's wrists. There was no watch on either wrist.
"Well, I thought I saw..." Amy began.
"You were on the other side of the atrium, Miss Pond," said Vanessa.
"Then," said the doctor, "I think my assistant and I will have to inspect the bank a little longer."
Vanessa tried to look pleased.
"Yes, of course."
She moved him away from the body.
"It's a terrible shock. Nothing like this has happened before, Dr. Schmidt."
"It's lucky that we're here today, Ms. Lang Randall," said the doctor. "We can check that no one is working as hard as poor Brian Edelman. Amy, go and talk to some other managers. We need to know if they are working too hard."
He moved closer to Amy and whispered in her ear, "And what kind of watches they wear." He stood up straight and spoke more loudly.
"I will come with you, Vanessa Lang Randall, because I think that you might be doing something quite interesting and dangerous."
"I've got a meeting with clients from PZP Group," Vanessa replied. "If that's what you mean, I don't think anyone would call it dangerous."
"I don't mean PZP Group are dangerous," said the doctor. "But anyway, let's go to the meeting. We haven't got any time to lose, have we?"
Amy walked around the building looking for people drinking tea. Where there was tea, there was always office gossip. She soon heard how Vanessa had appeared suddenly about 6 months ago from the Hong Kong office. Since then, there had been a lot more work to do in the London office. Someone said that one of the top managers had been in two cities at the same time, a meeting in Tokyo in the morning, then New York in the afternoon. Amy only knew one man who could be in Tokyo 1 minute and New York the next. That was the doctor. She thought maybe she was starting to understand what was happening at Lexington Bank. But the strangest thing she heard was when she was crossing the hall between two offices. On one side of the hall was a man in a blue shirt talking on the phone.
"I'm waiting for some very important documents from Stockholm," he was saying. "Aren't they here yet?"
And that was strange, because across the hall, someone who looked just like him was shouting at a secretary. Amy could hear only a few of his words.
"Copy! Now! Tax laws! Delaware!"
Something strange was definitely happening.